Hi, I'm Alicia Terry, and welcome to What's the Word, where we believe your spiritual growth is an important journey that should not be taken alone. The good news is, you're not alone. What's the Word comes alongside you to examine a single word taken from the Bible to help you understand both more clearly. With each episode, our goal is to help you strengthen your spiritual growth and development by learning new ways to study and understand what the Bible actually says so you can accurately comprehend the Word of God and be transformed by it. And we do this together, one word at a time. Let's get started. Hi, and welcome to What's the Word? I'm your host, Alicia Terry, and our word for this episode is unforgiveness. My guest today is Dr. Lisa Dorsey. Dr. Lisa has a combined experience of 50 years in business and ministry. She has an earned doctorate in public administration and a PhD in theology. She currently serves in ministry as a pastor alongside her husband and has done so for over 20 years. Growing up, Dr. Lisa developed a passion for reading, writing, theater, and the arts. She now combines her expertise, experience, and passions to write compelling stories that reveal the saving grace of Jesus Christ that, when nurtured, builds a spiritual legacy grounded in God's love, word, and wisdom. Dr. Lisa's debut novel, Petra, An Unbroken Legacy, will be released in May 2024. She loves writing biblical Christian fiction because she believes it speaks to the deepest parts of the human soul and offers hope in God. Dr. Lisa currently resides in Southern California with her husband and has four children, one daughter-in-law, and four adorable grandchildren. You can find her on her website at Dr. Lisa Dorsey, that's DORSEY.com, DrLisaDorsey.com. And for more information on her upcoming book, you can go to www.petraanunbrokenlegacy.com. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lisa.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. I've been really looking forward to this interview. So the first question I have for you is, from the list of words that you had to choose from, you chose the word unforgiveness. Why did you select that word?
I selected the word unforgiveness because it's one of the themes I address in my upcoming book, Petra, An Unbroken Legacy. And in this novel, I use biblical stories and biblical characters who resonate with the reader's own experiences with the same life struggles that we have, such as unforgiveness. And I take them on a journey to reconciliation.
Okay. And what led you to want to write the book and tie in of unforgiveness in it? Was there something personal along the lines for doing that?
Yes, I have a real passion to and a goal to ignite passion in the readers for biblical stories, biblical and stories that will increase and challenge their faith and engagement with the Bible to help them navigate through the challenges of life.
Okay. So the second question, or a follow-up question, is how can harboring unforgiveness affect a person's life?
Well, first I would say that it hinders our spiritual journey and it robs us of our peace. And I'll come back to that. But second, I want to say that research has shown that people who carry bitterness and resentment and anger, which are the byproducts of unforgiveness, are more prone to illness. So physically, it puts our bodies in what they call a flight or a flight mode. And there's neurotransmitters such as serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine that are released into our bloodstreams. And these are vasoconstrictors causing constriction of our blood pressure or our blood vessels that cause increased blood pressure, increased heart rate. It causes anxiety. It decreases the response of our immune system to fight off sickness. And it also leads to things such as or high risks for like depression, heart disease, and diabetes, just to name a few. Whereas on the flip side of that, forgiveness releases what they call endorphins in our body that calm us. It calms the stress levels and actually leads to improved health.
Well, that's really good to know. I know the interesting thing that just happened to me this past week, and maybe it's because we were preparing for this interview, old stuff from the past that I thought I had dealt with started to come up. And I'm like, what is this? You know, and I was feeling that anger and that resentment.
Right.
And
right.
I was like, God, I thought we dealt with this, you know, and I don't know if that's normal that those things continue sometimes to come up, even if you dealt with them and you have to push them back, not push them back down, but, you know, just deal with them. But I was like, where did this come from? You know, it was not a thought at all. You have any thoughts on that?
Yes, they call those triggers. And triggers are things that remind us of the past. And we know that Satan is an accuser of the brethren, and he would like nothing more than to cause us to spiral back into those feelings that we've had that we once conquered. And so, you know, I look at what the Bible has to say about forgiveness or unforgiveness and forgiveness and why we should forgive. And the Lord, you know, he's not insensitive, and he's not trying to get us to follow this impossible command. He's a good, good father, and he knows the damage that it will do to our body, our soul, and our spirit if we don't forgive. And Jesus himself modeled it for us on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And so we have to be mindful that we have an enemy that is going to attack our soul, and he uses us at our most vulnerable points. And so when those triggers occur, we have to take ourselves back to what the Word of God has to say. The Word of God is the last word. He has the last word. Satan would like us to believe a lie about the Word, just as he had Eve do in the garden. Has God said, right? That's his most thing, has God said. And he loves to use the word, bits and pieces of it, but he won't give you the whole truth.
Right.
So we have to go back to the Word of God as our foundation. What does God has to say about that?
All right. So the next question I have for you is, what is the biblical process or solution for letting go of unforgiveness?
I'd have to say that would be embracing God's grace and understanding the power of forgiveness. And the process of forgiveness starts with acknowledging the hurt and then letting go of the resentment and the bitterness that's the result of that hurt, and extending grace and mercy, not only to the offender, but to oneself. And when I talk a little bit about my experience with unforgiveness, I'm going to talk about being the sinned against and being a mutual partner in the process of the hurt that has occurred, because there's two paths to healing. There's the sinned against, and then there's the mutual consent when we enter into situations of unforgiveness where both parties were, you know, had some fault or had some play in the matter. And so there could be different paths to forgiveness, because everybody's situation is different. And then we seek, of course, forgiveness from God and others. While forgiveness is required because it helps to heal us, reconciliation is something that depends on what your situation is. And I can, again, get in more detail on that.
Absolutely.
But I also want to say about the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness, as I mentioned, is to heal our emotional wounds and to restore us so that our soul can prosper and we can experience that freedom and peace that God has promised us.
I love that. I love that.
How different would your life be if you could identify and address the source of your false identity, or discover how the love of a righteous king is not moved by your imperfections? How would letting go of the negative names and labels you've been branded with change your life? Why don't you find out by picking up a copy of Alicia Terry's book, I Am Who God Says I Am, Getting to the Heart of Your Identity. Whether you read it by yourself or in a group, the discussion questions in the book will help you discover and become the person God always intended you to be. I Am Who God Says I Am is available wherever fine books are sold.
Right before we started this recording, I had a question, which I think you sort of addressed just a moment ago, but I'll share it with you now and any thoughts that you might have with that. So my question is, do you think people have a harder time harboring unforgiveness against another person or themselves?
Yes. It's different for different people. In my situation, my personal situation, I had a harder time forgiving myself. And that's a misnomer. The misnomer is that those who were sinned against, and I'm talking about people who may have experienced rape or incest, or, maybe someone stolen something from them, or something untoward has been done to the person. It's a misnomer and a trick of the enemy to make you believe that you were the person at fault. And then you have all of these issues with grappling with, if I would have done this, or if this wouldn't have happened, then maybe that wouldn't have happened. And that's from the enemy. That's not from God. And in those situations, when we're sinned against, the Bible doesn't command that we need to reconcile with the offender. The Bible says that we must forgive the offender, but that doesn't necessarily mean you reconcile with them. If your situation has to do with where it was a mutual thing, where both parties has some involvement in it and had played a part in why the hurt occurred, then in those situations, you seek not only to forgive, but to also reconcile.
Thank you for that. Would you mind sharing what your story is?
Yes, my story has to do with racism. Growing up, my desire has always been to serve the Lord. And when I decided I wanted to go off to college, I wanted to go to a Christian college because I wanted to learn from Christian worldview and values. And when I got to the college, it was a predominantly Caucasian college, Christian college. And the amount of racism that I found within Christianity, within the body of Christ, was very, oh my gosh, not only alarming, but it really rocked my faith. It rocked my faith to the point where I almost couldn't recover. But I thank God because God always has a remnant. You know, He always has a remnant of people. And I was able to find that remnant of people within the body of Christ. And because I had blamed myself for a long time, but I couldn't control. I can't control my ethnicity. I can't control my skin color. I can't control how I look. But there are some things that I can control. I can control how I think about God, how I think about myself, and how I think about others. And so because I had a remnant of people in a community that I was able to bond with, who helped me to work through those issues, I began to no longer blame myself, but I began to see the need within the body of Christ to understand Christ better, to understand really what He came to do and why He died on the cross. And Paul says it best when he says, there's neither male or female, there's neither Greek nor Jew. We're all one in Jesus Christ. And so as I build myself up on my identity and who I am in Christ, I was able to overcome, those issues of not only unforgiveness for those who sinned against me, but for changing my mindset about forgiving myself. All I needed really to understand was that because of what Christ did on the cross, my life was hid in Christ already. My life is hid in Christ with God. And I have all of the righteousness that I need. I have all of the forgiveness that I need. And then my mindset began to change. It began to change about how to forgive others, and not only how to forgive others and forgive myself, but not to put myself in a situation where I would take on the wrongs that others had done to me as if I was the cause of the problem. It's very freeing when you can understand and differentiate when you're sinned against so that you don't fall into that spiral of feeling like you are the problem.
Right, right. So in your business, when you counsel people, does even though they're trying to do something, you know, else, but they seem stuck, is it a common thing to find out that they're harboring unforgiveness in any kind of way that's blocking them from moving forward?
Yes. Yes. In the sense that we have to understand the difference, as I was saying before, between unforgiveness or between, I'm sorry, forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. The Bible calls us to forgive, mm-hmm. and we forgive because Christ forgave us. Mm-hmm. There's a scripture that I want to get that scripture right now. It's found in, where it is, in Mark 11, 25 and 26. And it says, "And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that the Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." So this command is saying as much as God has given grace to us, that we need to pass on that grace to others. And so in trying to forgive other people, it frees us. It frees us from having to carry the weight of the sin of the other person. And that's what I help people to work through, to navigate through that. You validate the pain because, yes, the pain is there, but you don't allow the pain to grip you, to be a slave master. It becomes our slave master when it's almost as if we're worshiping the pain. You acknowledge it because it indeed did happen, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to become our slave master.
Oh, that's good. That's really, really good. I think that right there is going to be liberating for a lot of people. That's powerful. Looking back over the course of your life, what you know now about forgiveness, what would you tell your younger self about unforgiveness?
I would say that it is finished. And I say that because Jesus accomplished everything at the cross. You know, I have to learn to walk in your forgiveness and take your authority back in Christ Jesus and focus on caring for your soul, your mind, your heart, and your will. And the Bible talks a lot about how connected our mind, our heart, and our will are. And we can see how this works with unforgiveness. When we take in the experiences or the events around us, and we process them with our mind, the place where we think or reason about the experiences or events, then they're processed in our heart or our emotions, the place where we feel deeply about the experiences or events. Mm-hmm. That leads us to make choices, decisions. So we process these experiences to formulate judgments and decisions. So if we don't take care of our soul properly, our ability to perceive and understand and process information becomes really distorted. And then we end up making decisions or choices that are not fruitful for us and oftentimes are not unto godliness or righteousness.
That's powerful. I'm actually speechless right now. I mean, just the fact that it is finished. You know, why do we pick up something that is already dealt with?
That's right.
You know, and so that whole mindset change, thinking like that, it's just like, okay, well, I'm feeling this way, but wait a minute, Christ already dealt with this.
Yes.
You know? Yes. So it's reminding oneself of, you know, not only reminding oneself of what Christ did, but I think there's a learning that people need to know how to accept what Christ did you know, that allows us to have or to be able to be free and walk in that forgiveness for ourselves. Is there anything that you can share with our audience about how they can go about doing that?
Well, I would say that, number one, you can do this. We have the DNA of our Father in us. We were created in His image. And it's amazing because the Bible says not only we are created in His image, so we have the ability to do these things through Christ, but when He comes, we're actually going to be changed from this corruptible to incorruptible. That when we see God, when we see Him, we're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be changed into His likeness. But we already have that DNA in us. And so I think about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why can I do all things through Christ? I have the DNA of the Father. And when Christ went to the cross, He finished it. He finished everything. We have everything we need now to be overcomers, to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I love what Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's going to guard your hearts and your mind through Jesus Christ. And that's that soul care I'm talking about.
I love it. I love it.
Is I Am Who God Says I Am getting to the heart of your identity worth the read? Yesherica V. Johnson, a licensed professional counselor, thinks so. A life-changing and powerful book. First, this book had me laughing. Second, it moved me to tears. And finally, it challenged me to evaluate the health of my own identity. Alicia does an amazing job of teaching about identity using her own personal life stories, as well as those of the Bible. I highly recommend this book to anyone who feels lost in their identity and needs hope and lasting freedom. If that's you, this book is your answer. I Am Who God Says I Am is available at Amazon and with other notable booksellers. Get a copy today.
This morning, I felt some anger, unforgiveness, and even anxiety. And I really don't deal with anxiety coming on. But another time when I did, I realized this is not where I'm supposed to be. It was just an awful feeling. And I just went into praise and worship. And before I knew it, that heaviness that was in the pit of my stomach was gone. And so when it happened this morning, same thing. It was just like I refused to allow my soul to go down to Sheol. I will lift up my soul unto the Lord and praise and worship Him. And it lifted. It literally lifted. And so there's a component to getting free from unforgiveness, I believe, that praise and worship plays a role in. Do you agree? Amen.
I agree because, well, first of all, we shouldn't beat ourselves up. When these triggers occur to us, we shouldn't beat ourselves up. We just need to go to the Word. And the Word of God says, I will give you the spirit of praise for the garment of heaviness. So when that heaviness comes on, like it did for you this morning, you praised Him. He gave you the spirit of praise and it lifted that heaviness.
Absolutely.
And I also say we need to go to the Word of God to get our affirmations. So when the enemy starts to bring a negative word to me, I'll go and I'll say, what does the Bible say? And the verse I was reading in Philippians, if you go down to verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, whatever are lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things.
I love it. That's powerful. I'm really trying to keep myself together here, Dr. Lisa.
Amen.
Well, I don't have anything else to add. Before I ask you to share about your books and services and how people can get in contact with you, is there anything else you want to share in the line along unforgiveness?
I would say that forgiveness and reconciliation is, it's a learned behavior and it's choice. We have to make a choice. So forgiveness is really primarily for us. It's a process, but it's for us. It's a process that allows us to let go of the resentment, the anger, the desire for revenge towards the person who has wronged us. It frees us. It heals our heart. It heals, you know, the emotions. And the reconciliation part, it goes beyond forgiveness. It involves restoration of a relationship, but it's not required entirely because there are things, as I mentioned before, that sins that are again done against us, mm-hmm. and reconciliation is not always required. And I think people have that misnomer that if I forgive somebody, does that mean that I still have to have a relationship with them? And the answer to that is not necessarily so. You've forgiven the person, and you set your boundaries, and you make the decision of who you know, choose to reconcile with. But forgiveness is what the Lord requires of us. Reconciliation is a choice that you make based off of the healthiness of and boundaries of relationships that you choose to have. And I thank God that He gives us that choice, that He allows us to be free for the forgiveness, but does not put our souls in distress about having to have relationships that are unhealthy in our life. Because again, He's a good, good Father, and He's not going to put more on us than we can bear.
Absolutely. Very good. Well, if you would you share about how people can follow you, any services that you have, anything that you would like to share, please do.
So you can find me on my website, as you mentioned before, at www.drlisadorsey.com. And my services are under the umbrella of soul care and building a spiritual legacy. So I primarily help Christian women leaders pivot in seasons of disruption so their soul can prosper and they can build a spiritual legacy anchored in God's love, word, and wisdom. And I do that also through my writing and my novels. My upcoming book will be released in May. And you can find that at www.petraandunbrokenlegacy.com. And as I mentioned to you earlier, I'm looking to start a podcast soon, and I'll have different series and various themes. And just to give you a little bit of a sneak peek into that, I'm going to have what we call the Locker Room for Women Leaders, where we'll talk about the pivot playbook on how you can get unstuck. So that's like one series that we're going to have. And then as an ongoing series, I'll have Where Fiction Meets Faith. And that's where I'll talk about my book and how the reader can journey alongside the characters in the Bible that resonate with their own experiences. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, absolutely. Now, you have another book coming out on Deborah. Is that this year?
Yes, that's under what I labeled the Formidable Women of God series. Mm-hmm. And it's actually a Bible study. Okay. And I'm also going to do actually a fiction series off of it as well. But I'm going to start with the Bible study, and we'll talk about women leaders in the Bible, and we'll start with the making of a Deborah.
Well, I tell you, I'm definitely looking forward to everything that you have coming out. And I just want you to know it's been a pleasure. I thank you so very much for your time. I know that people will be blessed and helped by what you've shared. And I really, really encourage people to go to your website, order the book. If you're a woman leader, seriously consider tapping Dr. Lisa in with her services and helping you go to the next level. So Dr. Lisa, thank you so very much. I really appreciate everything that you've shared with us. And you're welcome to come back anytime.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to What's the Word. If this episode has encouraged or helped you in any way, would you please consider sharing the podcast with those in your circle of influence? I appreciate your support. Well, that's it for now. I'm Alicia Terry, and this is What's the Word. Until next time, thank you for listening.